The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 351. And I've got an awesome guest for a Friday evening, none other than the Falling Star Wrestling heavyweight champion, spring-heeled Jack Landers. Jack, awesome to have you on the show. How are you doing this fine evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, thank you, man. Hey, sick intro at the start there. That was awesome.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big Jimi Hendrix fan. It kind of gave you Jimi Hendrix vibes when I found that one, but I had to have it as my intro. But awesome to have you on the show. And we are live across Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and X. So if you want to get in touch with the show, if you have any questions for spring-heeled Jack Landers, please send them on in. And we'll do our very best during the course of this interview, however long we go, to bring up your live questions and comments during the course of this broadcast. But before we take a deep dive with Jack, just a quick reminder of some of my recent guests. And of course, in the month of February, I had an awesome stacked lineup, starting with Scotty Rourke, of course, the current BWR, current title heavyweight champion. That was followed by one half of the brand new Progress World Tag Team Champions, Alexis Falcon, joined me on the show in February. And my first interview for the month of March, just last week, as a matter of fact, was with Eddie Dennis, of course, one of the very best, one of the finest pros on the UK scene. And of course, next Tuesday is my next live interview with none other than Big Kurt Atlas. Kurt will be a fantastic guest next Tuesday live on Wrestling with Jonas. But today it's all about this guy here. And Jack, awesome to have you on the show. And I mean, 2023 was a bit of a special year for you. I think it was probably one of your busiest years. You broke out into a lot of other promotions, a lot of the debuts, a lot of opportunities. But thinking back to 2023, I think a lot of people might call it a bit of a standout year, maybe a breakout year for you. But how would you kind of surmise 2023 in a nutshell for yourself?
I feel like it was the first year I had to really be put on the stage, just to show like what I've been developing throughout all my years in wrestling. Had some amazing opportunities, as you said, working for various companies up and down the country. And it was great to finally have that chance to show everything I've been working on and refining over a long period of time in this business. So it was great to have that moment. I would agree. I definitely think it was a standout year for me, and I'm happy for all the opportunities I got.
Absolutely. And I'm going to kind of let my listeners know exactly how long you've been in the business, how long you've been training for, very, very soon. But did you feel that 2023, like I say, a lot of opportunities, a lot of debuts, branching out, and things kind of really started to kind of fall into place for you? Did you feel that that was the year when things really started clicking for you and started to make more sense of this professional wrestling business?
Oh, definitely. I feel like throughout 2023, I had a lot of time to find exactly who I was in the ring. Having all these opportunities to be in day in, day out in front of crowds, I got to really figure out what makes me and what I feel like makes me different to other people. And I feel like having that opportunity has really helped me to figure out what makes me stand out and to embrace that as well, to not shy away from things that maybe are slightly different about how I wrestle or who I am as a person, using that to my own advantage.
Yeah. And what would you say over the last year or so has been some of your biggest areas of growth, certainly in 2023, going into 2024? Have you noticed anything about yourself or about you as an overall wrestler or performer, and where you feel you've grown the most?
I would probably say my confidence, to be honest. Like, I'd say for a long time, I wasn't necessarily confident in my abilities moving into a new company. But through having so many chances to constantly get that ball rolling in a new company and then doing it again, I feel like it really built my confidence to the point where now I'm willing to step in front of any crowd and I'm going to try my absolute hardest to win them over.
Yeah, and you've certainly done that. And I know that we got the opportunity to meet one another, and I got an opportunity to see you work in Cheltenham just over a year ago from the Cheltenham Town Hall when you had a wonderful match against Jimmy Jackson. It was my first opportunity to see what you were all about. And I've been keeping close tabs on you ever since, and I've become a huge fan of your work. But looking ahead, obviously, we know what a barnstormer of a year 2023 was for you. But where was your kind of, what sort of mindset have you approached 2024 with? How do you plan to tackle 2024? I know that we're just a bit over 2 months in. We're now into the month of March. But following off the back of the success you had last year, how do you plan to tackle 2024?
For 2024, it's just about wrestling as much as I can. No matter what, I want to be wrestling every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, throughout the week. I want the whole thing. And so far, I've been achieving that. This has been my, from February to March, has been my two busiest calendar months in wrestling ever. So far, I'm hitting that goal, but it's about keeping the train rolling. I'm just trying my best to constantly be wrestling.
Absolutely. And I've got one of your biggest fans watching us live via YouTube, Marcus. Says that you're an incredible wrestler. Seeing Jack grow deserves to be everywhere, and I will echo that sentiment. And we'll do our best over the course of this interview to show exactly why Jack Landers deserves to be absolutely everywhere. But if this is your first time witnessing Jack Landers, hearing the name Spring Heel Jack Landers, then I do have a bit of a highlight video package just to demonstrate one awesome talent and what a star of the future Jack Landers is. And oh my God, that was incredible. And of course, you know, highlight packages are designed, you know, to show the best features of a person. But I could watch that all day long. I could watch your matches all day long. But I mean, one thing that kind of struck me, and of course, I saw a lot of your matches in preparation for this, and I got to see you last year in Cheltenham. But you've got this fine balance between your high flying, your aerialistics, your, you know, your high flying maneuvers with your ground based and your power moves and everything you do between the moves as well. So I think you've kind of developed this fine balance as a professional wrestler. But has it taken you long to kind of get to this stage where you kind of do seem quite rounded and very smooth in most, if not all, aspects of your work?
Definitely. So throughout like my time as a wrestler, like my body has changed a lot. Like I'm a lot heavier now than what I was, say, even when we came out of lockdown, I'm a lot heavier now. I've added a lot of size, hitting the gym and things like that. So when I first came out of lockdown, I was very much like, I'm naturally relatively tall. I'm about 6 foot, 6'1" maybe on a good day. But I was always quite lean, so I had like a very like high flying style. But as I've gotten bigger, it came to the realization that maybe it's time to use that, as well as having like natural athleticism, to use a little bit of the strength as well and try to create a combo that maybe isn't seen as much on the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely evident from everything I've seen. I mean, when did this kind of high flying athleticism first come about? Are you a natural athlete? Did you do sports at school or maybe gymnastics? But tell us a bit about where this kind of athleticism and high flying, or dare I say, spring heeled ability came from, Jack?
It just came from trial and error, man. Like I wasn't really an athletic person during school, but throughout like my years training and wrestling, I've just had a lot of time to drill various maneuvers and get comfortable doing things. So if anything, it was just pro wrestling training. Just going through pro wrestling training for a long period of time taught me a lot of like the body control necessarily to do these things.
Yeah. And I think if anybody's seen kind of that video package for the first time and is seeing and hearing about Jack Landers for the first time during this interview, they might automatically come to the conclusion that you are just an out and out high flyer. But I think that you're pretty kind of maybe passionate about not wanting to be just a high flyer and, as I've described, more of an all round performer. Mm. Is that something that you're looking to kind of demonstrate and prove to your audiences or maybe your peers that you're not just a high flyer?
100%, 100%. I personally believe that I have a very solid foundation. So that's something I've always wanted to try and show off. I think I first started getting noticed in places because of like the aerial maneuvers I do in highlight videos like that. It's very easy to see and be impressed by. But I've always wanted to make sure that once that's out the way, I can still back it up in other aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we described and explained earlier, 2023 can easily be classed as a breakout, a standout year for Jack Landers. But I think you kind of enlightened me before we went live, Jack, that you've been wrestling now for 10 years, maybe just over 10 years, and you've just turned 20. And my maths has never been that great, but that would make you 10 years old when you started training to be a professional wrestler. First of all, does it feel unreal that you've already been doing this 10 years? I mean, 10 years in most people's career would consider them maybe a vet or an experienced pro. But firstly, does it seem unreal that you've already been doing this 10 years?
Oh, definitely. And sometimes I almost forget that I'm now this 20-year-old person, and I'll still maybe in some aspects in the ring treat myself like I'm a younger guy. So almost sometimes it's a little bit of a reality shock where it's like, wait, I'm a different guy now. I'm trying to make sure I always present that like, you know, I'm not what I used to be. I'm now this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the other hand, you know, some people might say, you know, that although you've been doing years, it feels like you're just getting started and really kind of finding finding your feet in the business and getting the wind beneath your wings and flourishing as a pro wrestler. So there is another argument to be said that despite the 10 years experience, you're kind of just getting started in this business, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, it's only now that I'm really getting the opportunities, as you said, to sort of spread my wings and like apply my craft in new places, which is like where you really learn. So I feel like on that aspect, like I've definitely got a long way to go. I'm still climbing my way up the mountain, but I'm trying my best to get up that mountain, and hopefully it can just keep going up.
Absolutely. I want to talk about a couple of promotions that I feel has been very important to your career so far. Some might be considered very close to your heart. And the first one is Falling Star Wrestling. And I know it's your local promotion. Yes. And they started in around 2016, 2017. And I think you've been on just about every single one of their shows. I think you may have made your debut for them in early 2017 and have been on every single show, maybe apart from one from then all the way through till now. But I know it's a promotion that's very, very close to your heart and has afforded you a lot of really, really cool opportunities. But tell us a little bit about Falling Star, because, like I say, doing my research on you, I learned a bit more about them. But in all honesty, it's a company that's not been massively on my radar, although, you know, having learned about them over the last few days, they really should be on everybody's radar. But tell us a bit about Falling Star.
So Falling Star Wrestling is the company I very first started training at when, as you said, I'm 20 now, 10 years. I started training there when I was about 10 years old. So they're the very first company to give me any opportunity in the ring, which obviously very thankful for, because I was still a very young guy. For a little while, I even wrestled under a mask just to hide my age a little bit, and just to get me those sort of like occasional reps when they could slip me on a card. So they're a local promotion based out of Norfolk. Obviously, again, she said they're not, I wouldn't say they're on many people's radar, because Norfolk's a very tucked away area. We don't have as much wrestling going on here as, say, somewhere like London, where there's like shows every 5 minutes down the road. We have obviously FSW, we have WAW, which is the biggest Norfolk company, runs out of Norwich, and we have DOA sometimes runs in the Norfolk area. But yeah, they're a very like grassroots company. A lot of various guys come up through that system. Some guys as I've had many matches with, and probably maybe a couple too many. But it's all good. Yeah, they're a local company based out of Norfolk, and they gave me my first opportunity. So really thankful for that.
And by the sounds of it, they've also got a training school. But you mentioned it there, and they are a grassroots company, but they've also developed a lot of grassroots wrestlers as well. And I know, having looked through their social pages, they have quite a few names that are fairly unfamiliar to me, but might be more familiar to the local audience and people that have kind of developed through Falling Star and made a bit of a name for themselves in the local area.
Yeah, definitely. There's a few guys there that I feel like definitely have the potential to start getting out there more. But so hopefully they can start doing that. There's a couple guys especially that I'd definitely like to see more of about, just because, one, they're friends, and as well. I think they're like quite underrated. So yeah, I definitely agree. There's a lot of guys who have like come up through that system where maybe they could deserve a little bit more recognition.
Absolutely. And I introduced you as the Falling Star Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. And here's a couple of pictures here. Awesome black and white shots. There you are as the FSW, the Falling Star Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. That's a pretty cool promo pick if ever I've seen one. I think this might have been just after you won the championship. I believe the same place, the same venue after the match where you were successful. And like I say, having grown up with or grown up through Falling Star Wrestling, there being your home promotion, the promotion that gave you your first opportunity, that trained you and allowed you to grow as a performer and to finally be their heavyweight champion. How does that feel? What does that mean to you?
It was a massive achievement for me. Obviously, as I said, 10 years within the company. And like for a long time, that belt was the one thing I hadn't achieved. I'd had opportunities with some like the tag team belt in the company, and they have a smaller level belt called the Limitless Championship, which is basically like a no limits belt, like think like the X Division belt, but it also encompasses like intergender matches as well, so like completely limitless. And I'd had like opportunities with that because you could also argue that age is the limiting factor, so I could win the Limitless belt because of no limits on the age. The heavyweight belt was the one belt that eluded me for a long time. And like, it was always something that like, I felt like I wanted to achieve, like to prove that like I'd fully gone through that system and come to the top of it. And yeah, this time, well, it was October of last year, I finally got the chance to do that.
There we go. Congratulations. We're going to bring up a picture again, because it's a pretty sweet belt and some cool pictures there for sure. But congratulations, my friend, and long may your reign continue. But another company that I want to talk to you about, and you mentioned earlier that 2023 was definitely a busy year for you. 2024, February and January, February, March have been three of your busiest months in your wrestling career. Yeah. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to WrestleForce. And I know that they've got a crazy schedule, and I know that you wrestle most, if not all, of their shows. Tell us a little bit about your journey with WrestleForce, because I think certainly, did they bring you in last year or maybe 2022? But tell us a bit about your journey with them so far. It's been a pretty busy one and a fun journey as well, hasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I always love working for WrestleForce. They're a great bunch of guys and put on great cards. Like, if anyone can go see them, they're worth seeing. So my story of WrestleForce, I sort of worked sporadically with them, very sporadically, from about 2019 onwards. I had like maybe like a couple bookings a year with them in just after the pandemic, 2021, 2022. And then 2023 came around, and I became more mobile, basically. I learned how to drive. So from there, I got in contact with the people at WrestleForce and said, like, you know, I'm really interested. As I said earlier here, I want to be wrestling as much as I possibly can. And we got into contact from there, and I've been lucky enough that they always want me on for shows, and I always try my best there to put on the best show I can, because as I said, it's a genuinely underrated show. Like, some of the guys on there, like obviously Mark True and Kieran Lacey, might be two really good examples. They're working Progress and Red Pro. They got guys like Levi Muir, who's working Red Pro. It's like, they have genuine top flight talents there, and like, any opportunity to wrestle someone like that, that's an opportunity where I want to step up and give it a go, because that's obviously where I want to be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've interviewed a number of stars over the last couple of years at WrestleForce recently, Nathan Angel and Brandon Lee, who may still be their tag team champions. I'm not entirely sure,
they currently are
aligned with James Ferrell as well. Yes. So three awesome talents there. I got to work with James at United Wrestling in Oxford this past Sunday, as a matter of fact. A really, really top talent. I hope to have James on the show sometime in the future. Ooh. But just to demonstrate kind of their schedule, and that's kind of your schedule for February and March, absolutely stacked. And the majority of those are WrestleForce shows. So keep you, and you mentioned earlier, getting the reps in, you know, and really kind of owning your craft, and WrestleForce are one of those. And they always pull a good, strong crowd as well, a nice family audience. But I don't know whether they can be described as a touring brand, but they do definitely bring in solid numbers, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I would say at this point, they're more of a touring brand, looking at that. list of shows. Like, they're always putting on shows every weekend. So, like, that is why one of the reasons why I wanted to get in with them as a younger wrestler was, for me, as I said, any opportunity to get to wrestle. If I can get in with companies that are putting on that amount of shows, it's always an opportunity to get in front of a crowd. So that was part of my reasoning, wanting to get into them. And yeah, they all like a very nice crowd, like very nice.
Speaking of crowds, unique venues and a unique vibe, I want to talk about Hustle Wrestling now. I believe that you've had a number of appearances for Hustle. Going to bring up some pictures here. I think possibly the back end of 2022 into 2023 and, of course, 2024. And now just remind me of the name of the venue. It's the Colour Factory, isn't it?
Hackney Wick. The Colour Factory in Hackney Wick. It's a nightclub, and, usually. Such a cool venue.
It really is. And you've obviously got, and I'll bring that picture up again, you've got the stairway that leads you down towards the ring, and the fans are up close and personal. The action is always fantastic. The talent is some of the best in the UK. They put on some great storylines, great atmosphere. The vibe in that venue is just electric. Probably one of the most unique venues in the whole of the UK, and always offer the best talent and the best action and the best matches anywhere in the UK. And you've had the pleasure of performing for Hustle a number of times over the last couple of years. Tell us a little bit about your time with Hustle, because I think, in my opinion, they are a bit of an underrated UK indie promotion. But those that know about it rave about it, you know, up there with some of the best promotions going. And I've interviewed a number of people that wrestle and train at Hustle. Like I say, it's another one of them promotions that needs to be on more people's radar, more people's agenda. But what say you?
So going off for training, like, obviously I said, like, Fallen Star Wrestling was my first training, but I also credit Hustle with a lot of my training. I started training there regularly in 2019, whenever I can get down, and like, such a great school. And like, those shows as well, like, as you said, like, possibly like the best vibe for any wrestling show in the country. I've worked shows there before and been like genuinely gobsmacked in the ring, like, being in the ring and doing like one thing and you look around the crowd and they're going mental for it. It's genuinely like one of those like almost out of body experiences where you're like, this is insane. Like, you're looking around the ring and everyone's so, so into it. And like, again, as you said, like, really underrated talents. I've had loads of opportunities at Hustle as well. Recently, I've been working like a big storyline involving some similar characters in Hustle Wrestling, and it's building up to a great, hopefully, finish soon. We'll see, and we'll see where it goes from there.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. But if you haven't had your, if you live in the London area and haven't kind of had your opportunity to sample Hustle, go and check them out. Like I say, they will give you a fantastic night's entertainment and some wonderful professional wrestling, some great action and some awesome laughs as well. But another promotion I want to talk to you about is WAW, and obviously the famed Knight family over in Norwich, in Norfolk. Kind of in a similar sort of neck of the woods to yourself, of course, Jack. But tell us a bit about WAW, because I think you've been performing for them mostly last year and into this year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. But once again, some fantastic opportunities. And you talk about kind of the promotions that have been around for a long time, that have got, you know, fantastic reputation, that often put on big shows and have fantastic names from the UK and internationally on their shows. And to have you as part of some of them shows, that must be a bit of a thrill, a massive honour, and a great experience for you.
Oh, of course. So in November of last year, I worked their Fightmare 5 show at the Norfolk Showground, which genuinely is probably one of the biggest crowds I ever worked in front of. It was about, I believe it was 1,300 people. So like, for a UK independent show, very big crowd. And as you said, like, international names, LAX was on the show, Tajiri was on the show, loads of international names. And
Scotty
like,
Too Hottie, my good friend.
Scotty Too Hottie, of course, main event in that show. And obviously Zach as well, who's currently tearing it up in AEW. I wrestled in a five-way match on that show for WAW's Light Heavyweight Championship, which I had previously held but lost to the guy who was currently holding it in that match, Connor Mills. The match was me, Aaron Warnes from SOS Wrestling, Robbie X, Connor Mills, and Johnny Storm. So obviously, I'm stood in that ring thinking, this is a star-studded match. Like, I'm genuinely resting like the top flight best in the country here. I'm in front of 1,300 people, and I'm like, I better not be shit. To put it simple, I better not be shit. And I think I did my best. I went out there with a point to prove, to try and show that I can do my best to hang with those guys, and I tried my hardest to. I didn't walk away with the win that night, but tried my best.
It wasn't your occasion on that night, but I know that you've been heavily involved in the program for the WWE World Light Heavyweight Championship, and you did briefly hold the title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that is correct.
Towards the back end of last year, maybe October, November time. I can't remember exactly when, but you were the WAW World Light Heavyweight Champion for a period of time. So many congratulations. And I know that you've been involved in a program over that title throughout the rest of 2023 and even more recently in 2024. Let me take you back to Fightmare 5 and last year from the Norfolk Showgrounds. And one person you mentioned there, Robbie X, I know that he's had a similar journey to yourself, started at a very, very young age, similar to yourself, started under a mask as well. But, you know, one of the very best cruiserweights, one of the very best high flyers and aerial artists in the world, let alone the UK. But to be in there with somebody like Robbie X, I can only imagine that he's somebody that you've kind of admired and maybe looked up to as a bit of an inspiration. And then getting to work him for the first time last year in WAW, that must have been a bit of a thrill for you.
Oh, definitely. As I said earlier, like, I was fully aware of how stacked that match was. And as I said, for me, like, watching guys like him, and who is basically at the moment leading that style in the country, I think we could all agree. He like leads that high energy cruiserweight style. So for me, it was like, okay, let's get in there. Let's feel what that top flight intensity, like work rate. Let's feel that and let's try and match it. And of course, like, I always want to stay humble. So any chance to get an opportunity to wrestle someone like that, and then to learn from it, to learn like, okay, this is the best about, and this is what, if I want to be the best about, I've got to match that. So I'm going to work as hard as I can through feeling that in the ring to match it in future. It was like such a great opportunity.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that you were probably the youngest in that match.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to speak to any of the more experienced talent maybe before or after that match, like the likes of, you know, Johnny Storm, Connor Mills, or dare I say it, Robbie X, to get some feedback or some pointers from them? They may have been quite keen to pass on their knowledge or feedback to you, knowing what a talented youngster you are.
Especially Johnny. Johnny's someone I've known for a long time. He's regularly worked for Fallen Star Wrestling pretty much since its inception. He's always been brought in, and so I've always had the opportunity to like learn from him. Obviously, that was no different experience. And just in general, getting like an opportunity to say to them after the match, like, was I all right for everything? Like, I hope I was like there for everything, so on and so forth. I think I did my best. Obviously, I'm always going to be professional. I don't want to hound someone over something, because like, we all understand what that can be like. But like, yeah, just a chance to get in there, as I said, try my best. And then if they said like it was all good afterwards, I'll take it as a win.
Absolutely. And before we continue the interview with Jack Landers, a quick shout out to our friends up north, Tidal Wrestling. And their next show is this coming Sunday, March the 17th, from the parish in Huddersfield, with the Iron Will Tournament Finals and some awesome matches. We'll talk about the final of the tournament very, very soon. But they got Spike Treve versus Joe Blazer as one of their featured matches. HT Drake has an open challenge on the show on Sunday from the parish. And then you've got Tidal Championship match, Scotty Rourke versus Miles Kamen, a match worth the price of admission alone. Then, of course, we've got the four qualifiers that meet in the Iron Will Tournament Finals. Smashing Mike, Vusik, Artemis, and Malo DeRice. A tremendous four-way fought under Iron Man rules in a 20-minute time limit. Go and check them out. If you're in the north, if you're near Huddersfield, go and check out Tidal Wrestling. Check out the socials for a link or a barcode where you can be taken to their big cartel to get your tickets today. But a wonderful show brought to you by Tidal Wrestling from the parish in Huddersfield. It's going to be the Iron Will Tournament Finals this coming Sunday, the 17th, from the parish. back. I've got to ask you, we obviously discussed earlier, 20 years old, you've been doing this for 10 years already. Tell us a bit about what kind of inspired you to want to become a professional wrestler yourself.
So like a lot of people, I started watching WWE at a young age. For a point of reference, the first Mania I watched was Mania 27, which was Miz and Cena main event in. It was the second Taker and Triple H match, not the one in the cell, the one with the Hell's Gate finish.
Yeah.
So that's a little point of reference. So like it was probably a lot of the high flyers that were around at that time that first like inspired me, obviously, like Rey Mysterio. There was also guys at that time like John Morrison was kicking about, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston. Over in TNA you had AJ Styles. I did watch a fair bit of TNA when that was going. So yeah, it was definitely like those guys that I'd say inspired me the most when I was younger.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier about Falling Star Wrestling and how they kind of came on board. They trained you from an early age. And just to kind of fill in the blanks here, were they the ones that you first approached about getting trained at whatever age you were, 9 or 10 years old?
Yeah, that is true. So
how did you find out about them? Tell us about that.
So it was a... it was an ad in like a summer activities thing. They were doing like a local leisure center, like in the summer holidays, like a, here's all the, like, you know, there was like table tennis and football and basketball and then wrestling at the bottom.
Professional
and I was like,
wrestling.
I was like, what? Well, I'm a wrestling fan. I'll give it a go. Yeah. So like, it's a bit weird, I guess, but it worked. It brought me in.
Absolutely. Did you always have a bit of an inkling or a desire to become a professional wrestler? I mean, before you saw that advert, is it something you'd considered?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like at a really young age, I did like judo just as like I started watching wrestling like really young. I'll probably say I was about seven, I'd say, when I first started watching wrestling. Like, I'm pretty sure from the moment I watched it, I was like, oh, I really want to do that. I don't really have like any other memories at a young age being like, oh, I want to do something else, like, oh, no, other than like being like, oh, I want to be a spaceman, but everyone says that. So like I think I always wanted to be a wrestler, so then like obviously I saw that and I was like, oh, bingo, I'm giving it a go.
Absolutely. And I know that we know you now as Spring-Heeled Jack Landers, but back in them early days when you were very young, finding your feet, you were known by a slightly different name, weren't you? Enlighten us as to what your name was, and if you had a character or a gimmick, what was Jack Landers doing 10 years ago?
So Jack Landers used to be called Jack Hammer. That was my original name when I first started wrestling. It was kind of basically a jokey thing, because you think like Jack Hammer, you think like Goldberg, like massive 260 pound, built like a bull shark type guy. And then like this little kid comes out, and like I used to come out to like MC Hammer Can't Touch This. So like it was just like it was basically kind of like a half comedy thing. But obviously it's like such a crazy like concept. And like most of my matches would just be squashes. I'd probably go out there and just get like absolutely flattened in 5 minutes, because like how would I, at like 14 years old, how would I put up anything against someone else? So I would just go out there and just get boom, flattened, 1, 2, 3. But like it got me in front of crowds, so it was a good place to learn in that regard.
It's all about experience, isn't it? And getting that experience, no matter how silly it might have been. But I never like to embarrass my guests, but I do occasionally bring up some photos of their younger years. And Jack, don't hate me. How old
no,
were
I
you?
No, I don't hate you. It's just funny. It's just funny, man. That was me.
Was that about 13, 14 years old?
Yeah, something like that, man.
Probably a very young Jack Hammer or Jack Landers. You can uncover your eyes. And this is a slightly more recent photo, probably from about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and you can kind of see the seeds of a Jack Landers there. Haven't quite got the mass, haven't quite got the bulk, but it's developing. It's coming, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I believe that was 2019. So that's, oh my God, that's five years ago now.
Yeah,
that crazy. So I feel like at that point was like when I first started getting more opportunities. Like, as I said, like maybe when I was younger, it was just squash matches. Maybe at this point, I'm starting to get a couple licks in against opponents. Like I'm starting to maybe get a win once in a while, things like that. So then from there, that was like when I first started to figure out who I was, partly from like just from being like this young, basically comedy gimmick to like probably somewhere in between to where I am now. Cause like,
yeah,
that's nothing to where I am now. Like I feel like I'm a lot more defined as in who I am now, but we're kind of getting there. We're starting to like develop something of a character more than just like he's a wrestler who's young.
Exactly. The seeds of kind of what we have now. Let me ask you, during them early years up to when the pandemic struck in 2020, what were some of your kind of favorite memories or highlights from them early years? And as you explained, you know, you were still finding your feet, really developing as a performer, as a wrestler, kind of, you know, trying to get some reps in. 2019 was a better year for you. But do you have any fond memories of those early days?
Yeah, there's definitely like one memory I want to talk about. And this is also someone like I like to partially credit for my training, just because of like for the sessions I did do with him, like the influence it had on me. I'm pretty sure I was 13 when this match happened. I had the chance to wrestle a world of sport legend called Danny Boy Collins.
Wow.
Yes, I know. Crazy. The story goes, so I was just training, like there was like a training seminar before the show and I went down and trained. And the original guy who was supposed to wrestle Danny Boy Collins had to pull out. I believe he had a concussion. So he's out and they're looking around and they couldn't really figure out who to put on. So the promoter of Fallen Star came up to me and said, like, if we say you're like 16, 17, because like I was naturally a little bit taller. So if you stick a mask on me, maybe you could pretend I was a little bit older. He said, like, would you be willing to wrestle him? And I'm like, oh, of course. And like memories of that match is like just being like basically the most scared I've ever been for a match before, because like I've obviously watched like a lot of his wrestling, like, and even though this was like sort of at the tail end of his career, this was when he was starting to sort of pack things down, because obviously he had been wrestling for like 35 years at this point. He still had that, like, if anyone's watched Danny Boy Collins' World of Sport wrestling work or anywhere else, like, probably like one of the more like physical guys in the ring, even for a smaller person. Like, he had like a real intensity to him. So, like, I've seen these matches and I've seen him work, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna get beasted by this guy. Like, you know, I'm going in there as like this nobody kid versus a World of Sport legend. I'm just gonna get absolutely battered. But like, fair play, like, I think I held my best in there. I remember, as I said, being absolutely terrified, but I got in there, gave it the best shot I have. And I remember him saying when I got backstage, "You're all right, kid," basically is what he said to me. Like, thanks for that. So like, that was probably like one of the most like yes moments of my career at that point, because I was absolutely terrified going into that match. Like, I genuinely cannot stress enough, I was petrified, pacing up and down the venue, up and down the backstage, like, head down, just like, oh my god, what am I going to do? So to hear that was like, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that Danny Boy Collins was such a beast, so physical in the ring, until you kind of explained it there. But I think these kind of World of Sport wrestlers from the golden era from 1980s, and like I say, I've spoken to a fair number of them, that, you know, it was real to them, wasn't it? And they couldn't show that that it was choreographed in any way, that it had to be portrayed as a real sport. So that kind of realism, and dare I say it, you know, that toughness, that stiffness had to be shown in all of their matches. But let me ask you, I mean, I brought up this picture a moment ago, and going from that to this here, which is a much more recent photo, and coming out of lockdown, say 2021 going into 2022, there's this conscious kind of decision by yourself to switch things up, to try and take things to the next level, maybe develop your look. Obviously, there was a name change and maybe an attitude change. But give us your kind of, you know, where your head was at and your mindset as far as wanting to come out of lockdown a different guy, a different character, a different wrestler altogether.
Yeah, sure. So to go back to lockdown, obviously we come into lockdown of March of 2020 or something like that. I might have the date wrong. And like the first thing I remember thinking was like, okay, we're in lockdown now. I just started, like, I think I was training at the gym like for a year regularly at this point. And I'm sat there and thinking, like, okay, I've not got the gym anymore. So, like, if I don't basically, like, hone down on things like diet and just making sure I stay in the best shape I can, like, that became, like, a big thing for me. Like, I made a conscious decision to myself at the start of lockdown. The first thing was, I want to come out of lockdown in better shape than when I came in. I wanted to make sure I came out looking more like a wrestler. And then on top of that, obviously, you're saying about the character and things like that as well. It kind of came to the decision of where I wanted something to stand out, because, again, as we're aware and as we've talked about in this podcast already, there's a lot of very good high flyers on the UK scene. There's a lot of guys who are genuine top flights. So for me, I wanted to try and think of something that's going to make me stand out and be different to someone else on the scene. So I looked, like, introspectively on myself and tried to figure out, okay, what about me? What makes me, maybe outside of wrestling, that I can then bring into wrestling and try and use that to develop a character? And, like, if you can't tell by, like, what I'm wearing and things like that, like, I'm quite like into metal and things like that. Like, that's sort of like my subculture. So I decided, So like, I decided as we were coming, like, out of lockdown, I wanted to try and develop that look and turn that into something that I can then use to create a defined character, something that's different to anything else.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you about some of your moveset and signature moves. We saw the highlight video earlier on, of course, which was absolutely stunning, and I think demonstrated perfectly what Jack Landers is all about. But I've got some pictures here. And like I say, you are a high-flying artist, as well as having, you know, the power moves and everything else in between. Some of your moves there, from, you know, bouncing off the ropes, the moonsault that you do, all the other crazy stuff that we saw earlier on. Tell us a little bit about some of your signature moves. And I know you do a wicked Phoenix splash as well, that I'm sure Seth Rollins would be envious of. And you do some, we spoke about your power moves. I know you do pretty awesome scoop power slam or scoop slam. Very, very impressive. And I don't know if it's your finisher, but one signature move of yours is almost like a pump handle package tombstone, which is quite impressive. And I don't know what you call it or whether you can describe it better than I, but tell us about some of your unique offense and how you introduce that into your repertoire, Jack.
So you obviously touched on the pump handle scoop slam and the scoop driver. I named the move Crash Landers. It's like a play off my name. It's basically a move like I took from, as many people did, it's a move that's inspired from Japanese wrestler Mitsuhara Misawa. Obviously, he used to do the Emerald Flosion, which was obviously like a similar concept. And I wanted to take that move because it was something like I had, like, played around with before, and I wanted to make it, like, different. So my first evolution was to take it from the pump handle, which another Japanese guy, like a smaller name, BB Hulk, if anyone knows who that is, a Dragon Gate wrestler from, well, he still wrestles now, but he started in, like, the early 2000s. He's one of the Toriumon Dojo graduates from Ultimo Dragon. He also used that move, so I decided, I'll take what he's done, use this pump handle thing, boom. And then, as you were saying about, like, the tombstone variation, that's like a, I guess you could consider it like a super finish. Like, if there ever was a situation where, like, the regular move hasn't pinned someone, I would then use that variation. Because obviously, as you can imagine, any variation where you're going for some sort of pile driver is more dangerous.
Yeah.
So I like to sort of save that for, like, when I feel like the opportunity needs it.
Special occasions.
Yeah, definitely. It's a special occasion move.
But all very, very impressive. And I urge anybody, if you're kind of at a show that Jack Landers is on, get a ticket today, because you want to see this guy in the flesh. And you mentioned kind of over the last few years, really kind of putting on some size, putting on some bulk. Tell us a little bit about your gym routine, because took a couple of stills here. From, this must have been leg day. Because you were aiming for the world's biggest legs in wrestling. Very impressive. And so, like I say, you know, just some of these pictures demonstrate, you know, that you've got a fantastic physique. And I think as, you know, a quote-unquote high flyer, you it's the physique that kind of sets you apart. You got the height as well. You say you're, you know, 6'1" on a good day. So I think you've got the size, you know, that kind of sets you apart. But tell us a bit about your gym routine and kind of what goes into, you know, the Jack Landers of 2024.
All right, sure. I'm quite glad I get to talk about this. It's something I like talking about.
Go for it.
Like, I don't train in the gym. Like, I don't do loads of days, but like my thing's all about like high intensity. Like my sort of philosophy when it comes to training in the gym is all about getting in there and doing like a shorter workout, maybe 45 minutes to an hour, but like hitting it with like the maximum intensity I can, so that when I'm done, like I'm completely done. I ain't got to go for 2 hours, because one, it takes a long time. That's a long time out of your day. But it's also something where like you've just gotten like the maximum amount out of the muscle. So I train like 3 days a week. I do like a, if anyone knows their gym stuff, I do like a push-pull leg split, and I stick cardio in there as well through various means. Yeah, as you can see, I love legs a lot. Legs is one of my favorite things to train, like big into things like squats and deadlifts and things like that. High reps, heavy weight, all that sort of thing, man. It's definitely something that I feel like even if I wasn't a wrestler, that would still be something I'm doing. Like, it was one of those things where, like, for a lot of people, they start obviously because of wrestling, because they think of, like, when you think of wrestlers, like, as someone who's more casual, you're going to think of, like, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, big guys like that. But, like, it's become something where, like, I would do that no matter what.
Yeah, and going back to your kind of move sets and your offense, do you see your style evolving even more in the future? And obviously, you've put on size, you've put on bulk, and that will naturally mean that you probably won't be able to do as much or as many high-flying moves as you could probably do before. But how do you see, and I mentioned about you having this fantastic balance between, you know, the power moves, the high-flying and your groundwork and everything in between. But yeah, do you see your style kind of evolving in the future, or how would you like to see it evolve?
So, like, my thing with high-flying now is I don't necessarily want to be like the craziest high flyer possible, because like I tried doing that and then I realized I'm a big guy. Like,
yeah.
And like, no matter what, like a little like philosophy thing I always believe is like in like wrestling, like no matter like the craziest high flyer move you can do, like even if you can do like a double moonsault, there's probably some guy who's about 20 pounds smaller and he's doing a triple moonsault. There's always going to be someone who can do something crazier. So for me, I always like to try and think of like high fly moves that are maybe not the craziest, but they're the most unique. I try and think of maneuvers and sequences where it's like, okay, no one else is doing this. So if I can do this on a show, it's still going to completely set me apart, because like they've not seen like this variation of something into something else, instead of just trying to do like the craziest flip possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for our live audience at home, we are still live across Facebook, Twitch, X and YouTube. And if you want to get in touch with the show, there's still time to send your questions for spring-heeled Jack Landers, of course. So please send them through. We do our best to respond to every single question during the course of this interview. And another thing that really struck me, Jack, going through all your footage and a lot of your matches, doing my research on you, is that certainly in the majority of promotions, and when you talk about, you know, Hustle Wrestling and Falling Star and maybe Wrestle Force, you are a big time babyface, aren't you? Very, very popular with the fans, popular with all ages, whether it's your kind of your look, your presence in the ring, your personality or your moves. I think that is kind of very, very popular with the audience that's watching. Tell us a bit about your connection with the fans, because I think I'm right in saying that you are mostly babyface wherever you go. But you're welcome to correct me with that. But tell us a bit about the connection with the fans that you have, because I know that they are behind you every step of the way and love what you do in the ring.
Yeah, you are correct. I mainly work as a babyface, and well, pretty much everywhere I go, I work as a babyface. Let's just cut it straight. Yeah, man. Like for me, I've always like felt like my presentation, I try and imitate like band members basically when I'm on stage. Like I look at like the presence they use to like captivate an audience when they're on stage and they're like in the music, in the moment, maybe is like a better way of putting it, because that can translate to wrestling. I always try and be like in the moment when I'm in the ring, like embracing everything that's happening. So like if the crowd's feeding me a little bit of like support or anything like that, I always try and acknowledge it and feed it back as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like I say, you always get a good response wherever you go. I want to talk about a couple of individuals I think are fairly pivotal in your career that you've kind of been in the ring with quite a few times, might be considered some of your favorite opponents or maybe your biggest rivals or enemies over however long. But the first one is James Ferrell, and you mentioned him early on. I know you've wrestled James a number of times, especially in WrestleForce, but somebody that you've worked a number of times in, say, WrestleForce, maybe one or two other promotions. But tell us a bit about James, because I would consider him probably one of your more regular opponents, certainly over the last year or so.
Yeah, definitely. James Ferrell is always like such a great person to wrestle, because it becomes like, it's a styles clash, but it's not, I would say. Like, obviously, James Ferrell is a very grounded, technical, catch wrestling based performer. All of his stuff is designed to be gritty and like aggressive in nature. Like, if you watch his work, everything he does, if he puts on his chicken wing, it's tight and it's all like crunched in. Or even if he's putting on like a, if he's giving you a back break, or he's putting on a wrist lock, or he's doing anything, it's all gritty and ground based. And while, like, as we've said, like, I can do a lot of high flying moves, I consider myself mainly to be more of an all rounder. So I like this dynamic of I can follow him along for the things that he wants to do, which maybe sometimes will even help him, because I can like present certain things to him that he can then capitalize on and show like off his style. And then I'll come back on top with like high flying, and I'll use my quickness and things like that to evade him to get back on. Yeah, he's definitely been like one of my more regular opponents. We faced three times over 2023 in WrestleForce, and currently I'm 0-3 to him, but I believe it's April 20th. I've got one more opportunity to face him one-on-one. So hopefully I can get that to 3-1. It's not the greatest record in the world, but I'll take one over someone like that. Someone as tough as he is, I'll take one win.
Absolutely. And I think that the next person I'm going to mention, you've probably only worked just the once, but Jordan Breaks, a very, very technical wrestler. And I know that there was a social post of yours about that match with Jordan. I think you described him as possibly the most technical wrestler that you've ever faced. I don't know whether it would be considered maybe a styles clash, but tell us about wrestling Jordan Breaks, a very interesting guy that's similar to yourself, branching out and doing some wonderful things.
Again, as I said, like where I consider myself to be more of an all-rounder, and I've had that training with some like old-school British wrestlers. Like when I found out I was wrestling Jordan Breaks, I was like, oh, this is awesome, because like now I've got a chance where, even though maybe I'm not as like, my style isn't old school British wrestling, that's not what I do, I still have it in my back pocket. So again, like where I said with James, where like I can kind of match him enough for him to be able to show off what he does as best, I felt like, okay, this is a chance where I can try my best to match and try and follow along with what Jordan Breaks does best, and then use my high flying at the right points to get that advantage on him. Like, again, it was such like a, that genuinely was a match where I heard it and I was like, oh, that's really nice. I'm looking forward to this, because it was something different. I'm stepping in there and I'm thinking, okay, this isn't like a high flyer versus a high flyer match or a typical like heel baby match. This is like, okay, this is something really different here that I can genuinely sink my teeth into and try and come up with something different here. I was genuinely looking forward to it, and like, retrospectively looking back on it, I feel like we did that. I feel like we had a very nice mix of old school British wrestling and catch as catch can, showing the escapes of holds and things like that, as well as bringing in high flying and evasions and a little bit of fighting spirit and things like that.
Absolutely. And what about this guy here, Callie Gray? And I've had the pleasure of working with Callie a number of times over the last couple of years, a phenomenal singles performer, has really, really kind of impressed me. And I know that you've had a number of intense matches and storylines with Callie over the last couple of years. probably somebody that you've wrestled the most over the last few years, but somebody you know very, very well as well. Tell us a little bit about your kind of rivalry and maybe partnership with Callie Gray. And like I say, I know that you are teaming with Callie in That's certain true. Promotions. We'll talk about that tag team, but tell us a little bit about your rivalry and competitive spirit with Callie Gray.
With me and Callie Gray, I'd describe it as good friends, bitter enemies. So I met Callie Gray the first time in 2019. No, it was late 2018 was when I first met him. Late 2018, early 2019, our paths first crossed. And we had a few matches under my previous name, Jack Hammer, sort of during the tail end of 2019 going into 2020. We had a few matches. I believe they're out there somewhere on YouTube if you search for them. So like that was like a nice proto of us two wrestling before maybe we had both fully discovered who we were. Callie Gray would definitely as well. Like if you look at the evolution of what he was when he started to now, it's definitely been an evolution. I'd say same for me as well. And then obviously we come out of lockdown and I genuinely say like I've had a lot of my best matches against Callie Gray. We've feuded for both Fallen Star Wrestling belts, as the heavyweight belt, which I mentioned beforehand, and the Limitless belt. We feuded for the Limitless belt during 2021, going into 2022. So these were matches just coming out of lockdown. And like, I was so happy coming back with those matches because they were like, it was one of the first times I genuinely felt like that, like, I was getting into the match and it was just flowing perfectly and we were bringing the crowd along that perfect roller coaster ride. And then fast forward a little bit onwards to 2023, we start feuding over the heavyweight belt as Callie won the heavyweight belt before me in Fallen Star Wrestling, held it for a long time, faced some like really good opponents. Mike Bird, one great example, Brett Semtex, who's just started in Red Pro and obviously has been working loads of places before that, also the Rise champion. So, like, I'm thinking now, okay, so we've fought before for a belt. Let's do this again. And I feel like we topped those matches in for the heavyweight belt compared to the Limitless ones. We culminated, as I said, October of last year for Fallen Star Wrestling's annual Lynn Sports Show, which is, like, our biggest show with, like, a nice presentation, big stage lights, big entranceway, Titantron, the whole nine yards. It's quite a very nice setup, I'd say. And we went out there and put on like a 25-minute barnstormer of a main event, did like everything we could, high-flying moves, story, action, emotion. Genuinely, I feel like both of us put pretty much everything we had into that match. We wanted to leave it all in the ring. We wanted to go in there, give it everything we've got. If we die backstage afterwards, we die backstage, that's fine. We'll go out there and give it everything we've got. And as I said, I feel like we topped it. It's, in my opinion, probably my favorite and best match I've had. And again,
would this picture be from that same show?
No, so that was a smaller show at a place called Woolsocken. I believe if you remember the photo you shared where I was holding the red belt and shaking Callie's hand, that was at Linsport, but that was in 2021. That was when we were feuding over the Limitless belt. And then, but it's pretty much the same venue with the same setup.
Yeah. But let's talk about this because you're not always rivals in the ring. No. Occasionally you do get on the same page. There we go. Callie Gray, Jack Landers, Early Grave is the name of the team. Tell us a bit about that. Tell us a bit about kind of coming together on the same page as Callie Gray to form this partnership, to form Early Grave, because not only are you very busy as a solo performer, as a singles wrestler, but it looks like you're going to be quite busy as a tag team as well.
Oh, that's the hope, man. Like, we want to push that tag team, like, everywhere we can go. We're definitely, I'd say, like, both of us, I can feel like we're both really motivated to try and make that tag team something. We want to get the chance to wrestle the best in the country using that combination. So it was one of those things where we realized, as much as we put on great matches, we realized just through, like, a couple of off bookings where, like, not off bookings, that's the wrong phrase, but, like, off the cuff, that's the right phrase, off-the-cuff bookings where we are on a couple shows and maybe like someone had pulled out. So it was like, oh, we'll stick these two. We'll just stick Callie and Jack in a tag team because they've got a similar look. Obviously, we've got like a very similar like alternate like metalhead type of look. and we like got stuck in a couple of off tag teams in like Fallen Star and places like that. And we kind of fought to each other, like, you know, it worked really well. Like, usually when you tag with someone for the first time, there's always a little bit of growing pains. There's kind of figuring out what each other's timings are, so like your tag team maneuvers are smooth as can be. Like, a lot of people maybe struggle with that at first, but I think because we had wrestled each other so many times, we were so in tune with how each other worked that that kind of translated into our tag wrestling. So we had a couple of off tag matches and kind of thought to ourselves, maybe we felt like there was a little bit of a gap in tag team wrestling at the time. Like, at the moment, we kind of felt like that maybe there's an opportunity to come through with a new tag team, and that might help us to get more opportunities. So we just said to each other, like, let's just fully go into this and form this tag team. And we've had a couple of outings already, like, great matches. I'm looking forward to one match coming out from Harlow against the Bounty Hunters, Tommy Lawrence and KM Lane. I'm really looking forward to that to come out on WrestleForce TV, because that was like, I feel like that was a breakout performance of us as a tag team. We got to go out there and do like exactly what we do, like the things we knew we were capable of, and going in there in the ring and showing that off. I was like really happy with how that match went out. I'm so looking forward for it to come out live.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what are some of your proudest moments in your career so far? And like I say, been in the business or training and performing for 10 years. You've just turned 20. Many wonderful and exciting years ahead of you. But are there any kind of standout proud moments that kind of jump off the top of your head from your years in the business so far?
So like, obviously where I mentioned about Danny Collins earlier, that was like a proud moment for me. Working Fightmare, I'd say, purely for like the moment of like getting up on the second rope and doing your pose and then looking out at the crowd and thinking, you know, like, this is a lot of people. Like the way the Norfolk Showground is, it's quite like a, it's not like a massively wide venue, but it's very long. So like, opposite stage side, there's like a row of like 40 rows of like people, like, and you're looking out of that and you're going, oh my god. So for me, I'd say that was a proud moment. Winning the Fallen Star heavyweight belt, I'd say. And then just from like a personal point of view, like getting like into regular work with companies like WrestleForce, and there's like some similar companies that have given me like regular work over the last couple of years. Like, having that, I'd say, is like a personal proud moment. Like, not in like the traditional sense of like, this is a specific moment that like I remember, but like just that transition of going from like, I'm a once a month, twice a month, three times a month wrestler to I'm a every week, three times a week type wrestler was like a real like proud achievement for me. That was like probably actually one of my most proud ones, just to get that extra, like to get that push from like spot wrestler, spot show wrestler to like regular.
Yeah, absolutely. And very, very excited for your future. But before we ask you for your socials, just a quick reminder of my next guest. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we got Kurt Atlas, Ironclad Kurt Atlas, joining me on Tuesday, the 19th of March. 1 week later, on the 26th of March, I've got Echo joining the show again after kind of 4 years since we last spoke to Echo. And as an exclusive to my audience watching us live, on April the 8th, Monday, April the 8th, I've got none other than Flash Morgan Webster joining me live on Wrestling with Jonas. That's going to be 8 p.m. Monday, the 8th of April. Hit subscribe to wherever you are watching or listening to us right now to make sure that you do not miss my interview on April the 8th with Flash Morgan Webster. But Jack, it's been awesome having you on the show over the last hour or so. But if any of my audience, followers, listeners, viewers wants to reach out, get in touch, learn more about Jack Landers, where can they do so, my friend? And if it helps, I do have your socials running along the bottom of the screen. But just a quick shout out as far as where they can reach out to you and say hi on your social media channels.
Of course. I'm most active on Instagram. So if you want to keep really up to date with what I'm doing, please follow me on Instagram, as you can see, at jack.underscore.landers2004. I also use Facebook a fair bit, as it says at Hammertime15 from the old name, or just searching Jack Landers directly onto Facebook and that will come up. And I occasionally dabble on X. Find me as well at Jack Landers there. There you go.
There we go.
And I also have a TikTok as well, if you want to follow that. It's also, I believe, jack_landers2004, where I'll occasionally upload some highlight videos and things like that, if you want to see me doing some crazy things.
Absolutely. And who did the graphic? The graphic design there is pretty sweet for your little socials advert. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm so happy to shout this guy out, man. Amley Photography, Matt RJH on Instagram. Genuinely, in my opinion, the most underrated wrestling, like, graphic designer, poster, anything like that. Like, if I could genuinely shout out one person from this show, like, other than everyone I've already shouted out and said, like, you know, these are great guys, get on him. He should be doing, like, graphics for everyone, because, like, he's produced so much good work for me as well. Like, the amount of, like, posters and things like that, like, and the promo pictures, they're all him as well. Every photo you can see on the image, that's him, like, taking that. So, like, as you can see, his quality of work is, like, just second to none. He's worth getting into.
Say his name one more time.
Matt RJH is his Instagram. Matt_RJH or Amley Photography. AMLE Photography.
There we go. But spring-heeled Jack Landers, it's been awesome having you on as a guest for episode 351. And I say, can't wait to see you perform very soon, and very, very excited for your future. But Jack Landers, just want to thank you so much for being an awesome guest, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, man. Like, as you can see, that list of guys you've had on, like, recently and, like, throughout your entire podcasting career, like, I'm genuinely quite honoured that you consider me someone worth, like, putting on the show, in as well as those sort of guys. So, like, I really appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on today.
It's my pleasure. And I genuinely see you as a star of the future, and happy to shine a bit of a spotlight on you. But Jack Landers, thank you so much, and we'll see you at the shows.
Yeah, cheers, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.